We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumhold, and we heard some of those international bands that we were talking about just a little bit ago that are going to be releasing some records via Rad Girlfriend Records. And we've been talking to Josh and Brandy from Rad Girlfriend Records, and we are now joined by a third member of this community, if you will, Mr. Derek Brown, who plays in both Rad Company and Raging Nathans, along with Josh. And we were kind of talking in the break. Rad Company's got some stuff coming out here in the next couple of days, weeks.
Well, hello.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's the second time. I was listening on my way here. Good job.
Well, whatever, dude. kind of. We have some stuff coming out. Let's talk about Rad Company.
Let's talk about Rad Company and the lack of Rad Company.
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning and the end.
I'm not the original bass player, I'm not there in the beginning.
Remember, all right, so we went on tour with Tight Bros, and going on tour with them is awesome because Jared is in Tight Bros, and Jared also used to be in Rad Company. He was the bass player.
So, original bass player, and I am the replacement bass player.
So that's a lot of fun.
So we punch each other a lot.
Well, Derek gets bummed out because Jared and Derek will be standing next to each other, and someone will, like, go up to Jared, and they'll be like, hey, man, are you playing tonight? And, like, Derek will get all mad because Jared's not the bass player, and he hasn't been for a long time.
For, like, 4 years, and people still say, hey, Jared, you playing in Rad Company tonight? No. It's the guy right behind me.
Aw.
Thanks,
guys. It's like cue the sad Incredible Hulk music or something.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me laugh. Real hard. But okay, so we were on tour, and we didn't have a permanent drummer. Randy had left the band, and so we had gotten our friend to play. And we were 4 days into tour, and we had like 2 weeks to go or something.
We can have.
And the drummer that we took with us, he went home. He got on a Greyhound bus and he went home.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a drummer at all. We were on tour. And luckily, so then the drummer for Tight Bros, Shane, he filled in for us and he did an amazing job.
He learned 9 songs in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Which was awesome.
And nailed them.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. So it actually worked out for the best.
Yeah, he did it really good. It was really fun. One less person in the van, stretch my legs out, whatever.
But
look at the good.
So then tour ended, and then we didn't have a drummer, and
still don't.
Josher doesn't really want. I don't know what he's doing. He got married, and he's kind of just like hanging out, I guess.
We're on a big old hiatus, is where we're getting
we don't
at.
Know. But we figure that it's okay because before all this stuff happened, we had gone down about a year ago. We had played a show with the Queers at South Park Tavern, and Joe Queer had emailed me and he was like, "Why don't you guys come down to Atlanta and record with us, well, with me?" And so we were like, "Cool," and we did, but. It was kind of a bummer because we had to use a different drummer and like it wasn't the best it could be. It was kind of expensive.
Hey man, I got to sleep on Joe Queer's couch.
He made us
chicken, and then we woke up, and we woke up to fresh baked blueberry muffins from scratch. Like
wow,
Joe Queer, hook it up, man.
He told us about the Ramones and being friends with the Ramones, and he showed me his gun.
So all in all, it was kind of an all-encompassing rock and roll experience.
Oh,
it was bizarre.
I love it. I woke up the 2 days we were there, both mornings, had to look at least one member of the band and be like, dude, we're at Joe Queer's house, you know?
Yeah, it was really strange.
Couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
So we recorded like 6 songs, two of which are coming out very soon on a split 7-inch with Tight Bros, and we heard one of those songs, the last Rad Company song that played is going to be on there. And then also this guy, Dave Eck, who does Lucky Lacquers, which is like where most people really go to get their lacquers cut for their vinyl. And he does a label, and he's doing something real cool, which is a single series. So he's putting out 1 7-inch a month for a year. And, I mean, he said he wanted to keep it going. But we are going to be involved with that. So one of those songs from the Joe Queer sessions is going to be on that song, as well as a Madonna cover.
Nice.
So we have two 7-inches coming out for Rad Company.
Are we doing that 30-second thing?
Oh, and, yeah, we might. And actually, Joe Queer sang a song with us. So we have like
30 seconds long.
We have a Rad Company song featuring Joe Queer.
Very cool.
Which is cool. He's like,
yeah, something like that.
So that might end up on a 7-inch somewhere.
Very nice. And then what about the Raging Nathans? What are you guys planning on for the new year?
We
have a tour planned in March.
So somewhere,
right?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do. We like going on tour with Tight Bros. Those are our buddies. You know, at least me and Derek. It's almost like not even. It doesn't even matter which band it is, you know, because Derek and I have been playing in the same bands for so long. So we like going on tour with those guys. So we're going to do this weekend with them. And then in January, my buddy Nighthawk runs, he does Dude's Night magazine, and it's their 10th anniversary. So we're going to do like another weekend with them in January, hopefully do some shows. And then we're supposed to do some dates with our friends from Minneapolis, the Slow Death, hopefully in March or April or somewhere in the spring. So we're really trying to focus on that band right now and write songs. And, you know, Rad Company is such a 7-inch band. We came out with, like, we have, like seven or eight 7-inches and, like,
it's insane.
Half of an LP, you know? So it's, like, I think it was either, like, okay, write a record or like, get over it. You know what I mean? So with the Raging Nathans, we're trying to actually write an LP.
We have a 7-inch. Instead of going the 7-inch direction, we're going to go LP, throw our routine a little curveball.
Yeah.
Is it a different kind of writing mindset when you're deciding to do the LP route versus the 7-inch route? Or is it just more kind of from an organizational standpoint of, you know, getting an LP recorded versus recording 7-inch, you know, songs for 7-inches kind of in spurts and things like that?
Well, the thing about the Raging Nathans is all three of us write songs for it. So it's kind of easier. The idea of writing, like, an album or a record is kind of really looming, you know? Like, I can't, like, wrap my head around it because it seems like, well, how do you write punk songs enough to fill a whole record, you know? But so it's a lot easier, I think. It's really the only thing we know because we haven't really written a record. We've only done the Raging Nathans we've written lots of songs. I mean,
yeah, we wrote like 8 songs in a week because we all three come with songs to practice. Even the drummer plays guitar, you know. He's in a band, his name's Nick Hamby. He's in Shut Up, a band around Dayton, and he writes. He's got like a bunch of songs. Surprisingly enough, being the drummer, he'll come show us. We'll rock it out, you know.
Yeah, so it's not going to be that big of a deal, I think, to write. It's really just writing the songs and then picking out the good ones, you know, because it's
figuring out what fits together and what's gonna sound good altogether.
If we used every song we wrote just as we wrote it, we'd have one in like an hour. It's a punk song. Right? It takes like three minutes to write.
Like, a lot of the songs were like terrible.
It's okay.
When you've got three people writing the songs and you bring them to practice, how fleshed out are they? I mean, are they pretty much, you know, in some kind of form where they're closer to being done, or do they come in pretty raw and you guys flesh them out during practice? Or is it kind of different depending on each writer or each song?
They are almost always done.
Not necessarily. Uh-huh. I mean, Nick comes with a few done ones, and then, I mean, we've written a couple just there. Like, someone had a part, and then we try to throw in some other stuff that would sound good. Because, I mean, we do it both ways.
I mean, it's not that. It's just like, it's like verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And it's like, I need another part. It's like, I'll throw a bridge in there.
With a verse. Because these are that's like weird, right?
3-4 chord songs. The trick is to try and figure out how to not make the songs sound like other songs that you've already written.
Oh, I gotcha. Do you find that each writer kind of has their own kind of signature, you know, sound or signature thing that they do, to where maybe it's not obvious to the listeners, but you guys can definitely pick out
like tell who wrote which song.
Yeah. Like this guy did this one because of, you know, the
Rag
chord structure like, or whatever.
Yeah. Rag Company's like that. You could tell those apart. I feel the Nathans we're really like secure in our minds what we want to sound like. So we all bring stuff to the table that sounds pretty similar.
Gotcha.
I feel there are aspects where you can tell who's who and what is what. But I feel we've been pretty good all on the same page, which is awesome.
And we talked about that. Like, we wanted to go in one direction, you know.
To have a cohesive band sound rather than
we
like
used
a
to,
Derek
we,
sound.
Yeah, we used to be like that, where it was like no question who wrote that song and who wrote that song. And then we stopped playing for almost a year. And then Rag Company was starting to chill out. So we picked up and we sat down and was like, let's do this.
We got
this
rid of
way.
A bunch of old songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have like probably a 7-inch worth of old songs. We're just not playing anymore.
But you can tell, like, I mean, just certain chords that people like to use, you know, like I myself have like particular things that I think sound good. And I know Nick does also.
If it's got a sick bass rip, it's my song. That's Derek Brown right there.
Yeah.
In talking about, you know, making that decision to get rid of some of those old songs, is that a difficult moment to sort of divorce yourself of that older material that, you know, you did create and you spent time on, you know, even if it is sort of for the betterment of moving forward as a band?
Yeah, getting rid of a stupid girlfriend was a really...
Yeah, that one... That was a good gem. Decided to put that in the back pocket for a rainy day.
The baby isn't mine.
I don't even remember the name of that song. Let's not. No. Let's not talk about that one.
We used to actually. The Raging Nathans made people mad.
We were really silly. We used to be silly.
But like we had like one or two like good songs, so you could play all these stupid songs and like be like, they might be okay.
Yeah, play that one good song last, so we don't have to hate you when we leave.
Well, actually, like I have a couple of songs that I've been trying to play in bands forever, and they just don't seem to work out, you know. And it's not because they're bad songs, in my opinion. Like I really like them. It's just I guess it doesn't really they don't really fit with what. You know, we're trying to do, which is unfortunate for me because, you know, that's what I think you're talking about. Like, I would really like those songs to be, you know, part of it. But, you know, it doesn't really matter because I'll always have them. I can do whatever I want.
They are good.
Exist.
They're good, Josh. All right. they're good songs.
That's my birthday, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Feel good. Stroke me.
Happy birthday. I didn't forget.
Who does that song? You know, the what? Stroke me, Billy Squire.
Yeah.
So stroke me.
If people want to keep up on what you guys are doing, especially, you know, the Raging Nathan stuff that's coming in the new year, the Rad Company releases, and the stuff with the label, where can they go online to keep tabs on all this stuff?
Facebook, I mean, is probably like the easiest. You could just like any of those bands on Facebook. Although the thing about the Raging Nathans is we don't add anybody. They have to like.
You have to
like,
want it.
Yeah, you have to want it. That's why we have 36 likes right now.
Yeah.
So they'll figure it out. No, but yeah.
Come get it.
Facebook, you can go to www.radgirlfriendrecords.com. You know, like I said, Andy Rowe is really nice to try and help me with that. It's just, it needs a lot of work. But it does have, like, immediately it says, you know, this site is coming along nicely, but click here to go to the other site. You know, and the other site has, like, is the Big Cartel site. It has all the releases. It has everything for sale. And then the best thing that I would suggest anybody who's interested in just, like, checking out the label or any of these bands is go to... The a Rad show. Girlfriend Records. What did you say?
Go to a show.
Oh, yeah, go to a show.
Get out of your house, put your big boy pants on, and go have some fun at a show.
And be like, we'll I don't have $5. no, go to the Rad Girlfriend Records Bandcamp. That has almost everything that we've put out. A lot of it's free. Some of it's, you know, pay what you want. And you can stream everything. So if you just want to listen to it, you know, go ahead.
Excellent. Excellent. And I think Shelly's going to get some of those links up on our Facebook page. She's got some of them up there already. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Click over there and find links to all of this good stuff that you can listen to. And go see a show. I think that's a...
Booyah,
bro.
Yeah. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for coming out. And I think it's safe to say that sometime in 2013 we'll get the Raging Nathans in here for a live set.
Well,
fun stuff.
We would like that.
Absolutely. Check these guys out. Raging Nathans, Rad Company, Rad Girlfriend Records. All the links on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. More music coming up on 91.3 WYSO.
Buy me a shot.
To find out what's going on around the Miami Valley, visit the community events calendar at yso.org. You can browse by date or by category, or subscribe to an RSS feed. You can even submit your own event, and you might hear it read live on the air. Visit wyso.org and click on events.